Today is Remembrance Sunday, and I thought it was important today that not only did we do what we always do, which is remember the dead of two world wars and countless conflicts since, it's good that we respect them, it's good that we remember them, but also I was asking God, what do you want me to remember this week? What do you want me to remember? And so I've just got three short ideas which are from Deuteronomy 11 about what we should remember. It's important that we realise some of the key words that the Bible uses. It says in the very first line of what Bill read to us, impress these words of mine on your hearts and souls. Bind them as a sign on your hands and let them be a symbol on your foreheads. That's a very strong piece of language. This is not a gentle reminder saying, oh, why don't you think it would be nice if we thought a little bit about what God has got to say? We have to go further than that and impress his words on our hearts. We need to bind them on our hands and let them be a symbol on our foreheads. This is not a polite suggestion. This is a command. And when we get to the end of this passage, we find that God's saying, I set before you a blessing and a curse. You know, you'll be blessed if you remember these commands and if you do them. And if you don't, well, that's where the curse comes in. So, firstly, I want us just to say we are commanded to talk about it, to talk about what God has said. Now, I suppose our house, you would expect to be a house in which we talk about the word of the Lord. But like all other houses, we talk about a load of rubbish as well. And we do. I mean, last night we were talking about Disney Plus Day, which if you didn't know that had happened, that's just happened. That's the day when Disney have talked about their next load of projects and put some new programs up on their Disney Plus channel. Oh, thank God for Disney. But, you know, we can talk about a load of stuff, but the Bible very clearly tells us to talk about the words of God, to talk about the words of Jesus, to talk about what God has said. And this was a command to the children of Israel, but it's a command that stands the test of time and something that we should do. We should talk about what God is saying. We should ask ourselves, what is the Spirit saying to the churches? We should ask ourselves, what do you really think the pastor meant this morning? And let's hope somebody has a vague idea. We really need to get to the point where talking about the things of God is a keystone in our lives. We live in a secular society. We live in an age in which, I know I've told this story before, but I was talking to a little girl whose mother told me she was playing Mary in the nativity play. And I said to her, and what's your baby called? Wanting to bring Jesus into the conversation. And she said, Michael. And we live in a day and an age where people don't even know the name of the child in the manger, let alone that he is the saviour. And when we sang that great old song, Give Me Oil in My Lamp, the cry is sing Hosanna, which simply means sing save us, save us, save us, oh God. And we need to be a people that realise we have to cry that. Unless we are crying out to our God, God save us, we are without hope in the world. So this passage says that we should talk about the word of God. It says we should repeat what God has said. Sometimes it's very good practice for us to repeat the promises of God. Sometimes it's very helpful. When Rocky was poorly, we had various verses printed out around our house, and they were on every door. As you walked in through the back door, and you walked in through the kitchen door, into the living room door, all the doors had a verse on them. And our doctor, who came really regularly to see Rocky, he would comment on the verses. And I remember once when Rocky had been given, for the second time in his short life, he was given 3 weeks to live. And 3 months later, the doctor was saying to me, "Well, Stephen, I don't believe as you do, but I have to ask myself whether or not you're getting a miracle." Because he was doing very well. And of course, he lived 5 months in those 3 weeks that he was given to live. But all the time we talked about the word of the Lord. We talked about the promises of God. And let me tell you this, and those of you that have gone through bereavement know that the only way you do get through, really, is with the promises of God and knowing the goodness of God, knowing that He is the Father who embraces us. You know the story of the lost son? There's the lost coins, and there's the lost sheep, and there's the lost son, the prodigal son. And in that story, it tells us that the father, when he saw his son coming towards him, ran to him and embraced him. And you have to ask yourself, why did he run towards his son? Let me tell you that, because there's a very good answer. We know from that day and generation that if a son had brought shame on his family, when he returned to the family home, all the community would get together and stone him to death. His father ran towards his son to save his son. He ran towards his son to save him, to embrace him and say, "Get off, you people. This is my son. He's with me." And we have to remember that God's promises are a lot like that. He stands with us. He is there for us. And sometimes things don't go particularly brilliantly, but He will save us. And we need to recognize that. This passage tells us to teach our children these things. Now, some of us are getting to a point where our children are getting older. But it's important that we recognize that an investment of teaching our children about Jesus and about God is an investment that we cannot underestimate. We need to tell our children. My father died when I was 7. I became a Christian when I was 8 3/4. And my father told me so many things about God. He was a religious man. I don't know if he was a Christian, but he was a religious man. And so many things that he told me have been a good investment. And one thing he told me was that I was committed to the priesthood. He had had me baptized into a special baptism in the Catholic Church where you are dedicated to become a priest. And you know what? I think that's been carried through. I think God's called back that promise, and I thank God for that. But you know, we are told to impress these on our hearts and minds. Impress the words of God on your heart and mind. What words are we really talking about here? Well, in the context of what is written, and we must always go back to that, we must always ask, what were the original readers understanding? The original readers were understanding this: you shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or bow down to it. You shall not misuse the Lord's name. You will keep the Sabbath day holy and honour your father and mother. You will not murder, you will not commit adultery, you will not steal, you will not lie, you will not covet. And those 10 commandments, which still stand as 10 great boundaries in our lives, which if we follow them, will keep away trouble. Then those boundaries, that was what was in their mind when Moses is saying to them, impress these words of the Lord on your mind, on your heart. And we need to remind ourselves, we live in a relativistic world where people talk about their truth and your truth. Let me just tell you something now, which may shock some of you. There isn't such a thing as your truth or their truth. There is only the truth. Jesus Christ declared himself 2,000 years ago to be the truth. And Jesus is the truth. The words of Jesus are true. And we need to be those who stand up in our society and say, yes, there still is truth. And one thing we need to do is remind people of the truth. The boundaries that the Ten Commandments are really to safeguard us, to stop us from experiencing trauma and pain. These days, very much in my lifespan actually, we have changed our morality as a nation. And we sort of now believe that sex is like having a cup of tea. You know, we just go out for a cup of tea with somebody. And we have got this idea that that which God had always intended for the pleasure of those who were committed to each other through marriage, we have got the idea that it's just a thing. But the truth is, there is so much pain in our lives because we ignore the boundary that God told us, do not commit adultery. It was a great idea until we ignored it. And the truth is, whereas this has always been an issue because the sex drive is an enormous drive in human life and existence, the reality is that we live in a day where we have once again gone back to paganism. We have once again ignored God. We worship celebrity. We worship money. We worship all types of things but God. And we have put down the word of God, and we need to take it up again. And we can only do that by talking about it. We need to talk about it to people. We need to talk about it in our homes and families. And really, let me assure you, it's an absolute vital choice. My second point today is write it down. This passage tells us to write the word of God down. Now, by the time Jesus was around, this had become a religious ritual. Men and women to some extent, but usually men, who considered themselves religious would take a little bit of Deuteronomy and write it down on a piece of, I was going to say paper, but they didn't have paper, did they? It was a scroll, little scroll, roll it up, tie it with a little ribbon, put it in a little box, and they would strap the box to their wrist. Or they would run a ribbon around the forehead and strap it to their forehead. And you can see why they did that, because it does say bind them on your hands and bind them to your forehead. So you can see why they did that. But I have to ask you, is that what actually God was asking them to do? I don't think God was actually saying, let's go all religious on this. Let's make this into a ritual. Let's tie it in a box. I mean, for a start, who can read the word of God when it's in a box? Let's tie it to your forehead. Well, can you read anything that's tied to your forehead? I defy you to do that. Mirrors weren't that good in those days, and if you held it up to the mirror, you'd probably struggle to read it. You know, the truth is, We need to understand that binding these to our hands and binding them to our foreheads is talking about binding them to what we do with our hands and binding them to what we think with our minds and our foreheads. And we need to incorporate the Word of God into daily living. That's what this is about. Incorporate the Word of God into daily living. The areas that we have access to our hearts and lives, and of those around us, we should apply the Word of God to. It's so important that we allow the Word of God to rise up in our minds and to pop out of our mouths. I'll never forget once I was in my hi-fi selling days. I'm now speaking of my illustrious past. I had somebody come in and they said, "Oh, we've got a Bang & Olufsen hi-fi system, but it hasn't got a cassette deck. We'd like a cassette deck. How much do they start from?" And I took them over to the entry model and I said to them, "This is the Beocord 1500. You see, I remember the model numbers. And I said to them, "It's £153. And this will plug in to what you've got and give you the tape facilities that you want. It's £153. It's the number of pounds that are equivalent to the number of fish that Jesus' disciples caught that day." Now, why on earth would I say that? Well, do you know what? I added my habit to try and bring the Word of God into everything. And 153, it was the number of fish that the disciples picked up. And these people said to me, "Why do you say that?" And I said, "Well, the Bible talks about 153. And they said, "We'll have it." And I said, "Well, that was quick." And they said, "Well, we're Christians. And the fact that you've talked to us about that, we just think we should buy it from you." Well, you know what? Sometimes, and the amazing thing is that that man, I still am in contact with him today, and that's at least 38 years ago. And you know what? That's been a helpful relationship in my life. And God's Word has an amazing way of making a way for us, because God's Word is part of the way maker. It makes a way. And you know, the one thing that I love about that song, Waymaker, is we're not talking about God necessarily using existing ways. We're talking about God making a way. And there's that older song, "God will make a way where there seems to be no way." And you know, God will. God will make a way. But how can we allow him to make a way in our lives if we won't release his word? We need to release what he says into our lives. The night I was baptized, and the guy who baptized me just recently died, bless him, Ernest Anderson, a lovely guy. He baptized me when I was 13 years old, and that was in the church that I was in. You weren't allowed to be baptized until you were 13. And another man read out to me a scripture, and he said, "This is your baptismal promise." And he read out to me, "No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is their vindication from me, says the Lord." It's Isaiah 54, verse 17. You know what? I was 17 when that word came back to me. And what had happened was, I had been nominated by my school to be a student governor. And unfortunately, I hadn't had my 18th birthday. And British law said that you couldn't be a school governor until you were 18. But my school said, "No, he's the one." And there'd been a vote, a popular vote, and I'd won that. You see, I have had times of popularity. I know it's hard to believe, but Although I have to say to you, I had a loudspeaker in my briefcase playing Vote Steve Redman for student governor. And between lessons, I would carry it down. Can you believe that? Yeah, that was me. And at that particular time, Shirley Williams, who was also recently died, was Education Secretary. And she stood up in the House of Commons and said, "Who is this Redman anyway? Who is he that he thinks he can be a student governor before he's old enough to be?" And a question, if you look back in Hansard, a question in the House of Commons was asked about me. But you know what, at the time it was very stressful for me, because the newspaper were wanting to interview me. I was being quoted about all types of things, and it was very stressful for a 17-year-old lad who'd never had contact, who'd never been much farther than the outskirts of Goole, really. I think I'd been as far as York. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I went to university, they used to call me well-travelled Redman, because they said, you know, Redman's been as far as the bottom of his garden on one or two occasions. Because I hadn't been far, you know, it's just like that. But the stress of all of this, and I was 17 years old, and one day I'm saying, "God, will you help me with this?" And you know what God did? He reminded me of a verse that a man had read to me when I was baptized when I was 13 years old. "No weapon formed against you will prosper." And, you know, it all worked out, because Shirley Williams lost her argument as the Education Secretary, and my appointment was passed by the then Humberside County Council, and the government didn't feel they could interfere in council business, and I had a formal welcome by the headmaster, and it was a terrible thing, but I held on to the word of God. And you might say to me, "Well, Stephen, it's no big deal, you're only 70. I held on to that promise, and that promise saw me through. And I tell you, I have been through some other things. And in every occasion, as Isaiah 54 verse 17 has been my watchword and seen me through. And some of those things would make your hair curl. I've told you the funny story. But in all of those things, God has been with me. Write it down. Write your promise down. If you've got to write it down and stick it on your fridge with a magnet, do that. But write what down, what God has said to you. If you feel that God is saying something to you, buy a journal. Good grief. Notebooks are cheap enough. You can buy them for £1 in the pound shop. Although soon they'll be £2, even in the pound shop. But you know, write it down. Make a note. Make a note of what God has said. It will help you. My last point then is blessing or curse. On the screen, you can see two mountains. And those two mountains are the two mountains that Deuteronomy talks to us about, where it says, when you enter into the land, you will go upon one mountain and read out the blessings, and you will go upon the other mountain and read out the curses. And the blessings will be for those that follow and remember what I have said, and the curses will be for those that ignore what I have said. Some people want to get straight into curse, but do you know what? What we have to focus on is the blessing. You can totally avoid the curse if you focus on the blessing. That was what God was always saying, and he is still saying today. The key to blessing is to talk about and write down his promises and remember them and to bring the word of God to your mind. That is the key. If we will do this, it will help us. It will give us a clarity of thinking. We can and we will overcome in life. And we can experience the goodness of God on every hand, which is the blessing. You know, I, a few years ago, was in the presence of some Chinese Christians who were introduced to, I think, as X, Y, and Z or something like that. We weren't allowed to know their names. We weren't allowed to know where they came from. They were telling us very much about the suffering of Christians in China. And these three men had got out on educational visas and they were going back. So they couldn't be recognized. There were no video, no audio recording. And they told about how the church was suffering in China. And then the person interviewing them said, so would you summarize this and give us an idea of what you want the church in the UK to be doing to pray for you? And they said, it's very simple. Pray that we are able to endure the persecution. Whatever you do, do not pray that the persecution stops. And I thought, well, why? Why wouldn't you want the persecution to stop? But then they expounded that. They said, you see, the more persecution, the more the church is growing. When people see what we are going through, they look into Christianity. They want to know more about it. And he said, it's our greatest form of evangelism is persecution. So please don't pray that it stops. Just pray that we are able to bear up under it. Some of the issues that we face in life might feel like a curse, but the blessing of God is that we can bear up under it. Let me encourage you to trust God and to always go on the left-hand mountain and never on the right. Always declare blessing. Declare blessing on people that curse you. I'll say this again. Declare blessing on people that curse you. Yeah. And when you do that, you will be in command of the blessing. And God will enable you to bring blessing to situations. But let me assure you, God will bless you. Sometimes what we want is, God, bless me and bless me now. And we could just as easily be saying, God, give me patience and give me it now. But what we have to do is depend on God's word. Depend on his promises. And sometimes that means bearing up during. The psalmist talks about a place called the Valley of Baca. Baca means tears. And it says, as you go through the Valley of Baca. And let me say this to you. The Valley of Baca is always somewhere you go through. It's not a place where you learn to live. The Bible does not say live in the Valley of Baca. Does not say build a bungalow in Baca. It says as you go through. Because you always come out the other side of Baca. And then you can travel with your back to Baca. And that's important that we learn that we will come to a point where our back is to Baca. And as we do that, the experience of passing through the Valley of Tears becomes a fruitful one. And we look back and we say, yeah, that wasn't very nice, but God was good to us. And you know, when we can talk like that, that is something else which we can teach the next generation. And we can say to them, yes, you know, I went through some tough stuff, but God was with me. And when God was with me, I came out the other side and I traveled for the rest of my life with my back to that backer. We need to realize that what we talk about is so important. If you get home today and all you can do is talk about, well, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do now the gas bills are going up again. Well, our gas bill is ridiculous and I just don't know what I'm going to be able to do. If your focus is always on a curse, then you will miss out on the blessing of God. Let me encourage you. God wants to help you. And he'll help you provide for your gas bill. But if all we're doing is talking about the size of the need, we are never experiencing the size of his provision. And that's what we need to do. Let me encourage you today. Let's focus on the promise. Let's focus on the teaching. Let's focus on the word. Let's focus on the goodness of God. All of these things will help us and help us to stand. And when we're standing, we're doing good. And you know, there was that guy, Shamgar. He stood in a field of lentils with his sword. And I forget how many people he killed who tried to take the land off him. But he defended a field of lentils. Now, I don't know about you. I wouldn't give you a whole lot of beans for a bag of lentils, but that doesn't make sense really, does it? I wouldn't give you a lot of money for a field of lentils. But for him, it was the last straw. He wasn't letting the enemy go any further. And you know what? We need to be people like that. People who say, this is it. No more, no further. I am standing on the promises of God. And as you stand on the promises of God, you will see a new journey before you as God opens doors. Yeah? Let's just pray. Father, today we remember you. We remember the strength of your healing power, the strength of your kindness and your provision. We remember your suffering that developed for us a salvation. We thank you for your resurrection and your triumph over sin and death and hell. And we thank you for the word you have left us, the promises that we engage with and that we remember. Help us, Father, to always talk about them. Help us to write them down and help us to always experience the blessing of them, that we might know you in all your glory and goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.